One of the privileges of coming to different churches is since the days we kind of gave up hymn books and started to use the screen for our hymns, is that there's a huge variety of different songs now sung in different churches. And sometimes you learn one you didn't know. And I didn't know the last one we just sang, God Will Make a Way. But that's an absolutely brilliant song. And I just say thank you to the band who've led the worship this morning. And thank you for teaching me a new chorus. We're now going to look again at that story of the persistent widow. For those of you that have Bibles with you, it's in Luke chapter 18, starting at the first verse. The other day, the leader of our toddler group told me that she'd received a text at breakfast time on a Monday morning. And this text was asking if the application for a child to join the group had been successful, because the lady that sent the text had not received a reply to her email. So when my friend checked back, she discovered that the email in question had been sent at 10:30 on the previous Sunday evening, less than 12 hours previously. Yes, we all live in an age when we expect instant responses. We have unrealistic demands and expectations. How often have you seen pictures of protest marchers on the TV screens chanting and shouting, what do we want? When do we want it? With the response coming back, we want it now. And so much in our culture today demands instant responses. And in fact, I suppose mobile phones and emails have made that a lot worse. And that culture can get into our own attitudes, even, dare I say, within our churches. But there's a great deal in Scripture about waiting patiently on the Lord and continuing to meet with Jesus as we walk with him day by day. And of course, to trust in God for answers. So turn with me then to the reading in Luke's Gospel, where we meet Jesus. He's now en route to Jerusalem. He's teaching and talking to his disciples as they make their way up to Jerusalem. And of course, in those days, these journeys were long and they would be on foot. There was no high-speed dash by train or car. So there were always ample time for discussion, for listening to Jesus' words, and for thinking through the meaning of his parables. The disciples, they had many opportunities for deepening their relationship with Jesus. And so Jesus, in very much the same way, wants us to take time to meet with him, to listen to his words, to get to know him better, and to deepen our fellowship with him. And so we read in verse 1 of that chapter, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. That they should always pray and not give up. So clearly, the point of this parable, which we shared earlier in the family talk, is all about prayer and how important it is to pray in our, as part of our Christian walk with Jesus, and never to give up. Throughout the Gospels, and here particularly in Luke's account, we find Jesus himself praying at all of the vital moments in his life, before all his big decisions. If you were to read right through Luke's Gospel, we perhaps don't read the whole Gospels like that anymore these days, but if you were to read right through Luke's Gospel, you would find that in chapter after chapter, verse after verse, Jesus himself is praying to his Father in heaven. So in chapter 3, he's praying at his baptism and the heavens open and God speaks to him. And then in chapter 5, after a hectic day of ministry, we read that Jesus himself often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. And then in chapter 6 came a big decision. Jesus chooses his 12 disciples. But Luke tells us that Jesus went out onto a mountainside to pray and spent the whole night praying to God before choosing his disciples. Then in chapter 9, just before Jesus starts to teach his disciples, predicting his death, we learn that Jesus had been praying in private. And then he took three of his disciples up the mountain of Transfiguration to pray with him. And in chapter 11, Jesus then taught his disciples how to pray with the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And he continued to emphasize the importance of prayer in his daily life. And obviously, in the chapter that we've just read, Jesus has much to say about prayer. It was clearly a vital and important and crucial part of Jesus' relationship with his Father in heaven, particularly before major decisions and, of course, critical events. And if you go on and read the rest of Luke's Gospel, we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying with his disciples who were falling asleep, praying immediately prior to his betrayal, arrest, and trial. And then amazingly, even on the cross, Jesus prayed to his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Prayer was a natural, essential, central part of Jesus' own life. And in telling this parable, he wants his followers to be guided by his example. So now, about to enter Jerusalem, and knowing exactly what was going to happen to him on the way to the cross and the death, his death, Jesus takes time, still thinking about his disciples and their needs. And so he tells them in verse 1 that they must always pray and not give up. And then he uses this quite well-known story of the widow and the judge to illustrate his point. And of course, the parable only has two characters. There's a poor widow with some sort of grievance against an unknown adversary, and a judge from whom she was seeking justice and asking for her case to be resolved in her favour. There's no further details, and the specifics of the case are never revealed. And that's not important. That is not the point of the parable, because Jesus has already told his disciples the point of the parable is about prayer and never giving up. And of course, in the culture of the day, the widow and the judge would have been at opposite ends of the social spectrum in different parts of society. He would have been a high status, important, ranking person, and the widow at the very bottom, unlikely ever to encounter each other. But Jesus tells us that she was determined and she continued to seek justice. She was determined and she continued. As a widow in those days, she would have faced a difficult, discouraging, hard life, dependent on others for whatever meagre work she might just have been able to obtain. And it's clear from reading Luke's Gospel that Jesus himself was always concerned with the outcasts, the marginalised, those on the fringes of society, the lame, the sick, the poor, often foreigners, women, particularly widows. Jesus was looking always to the poor. And on announcing his ministry, right at the very beginning, Jesus quotes from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free." So Jesus uses this widow as an example of someone who was oppressed, someone who was a poor, someone who would have found it extremely difficult, probably almost impossible, for her to achieve her ambition, which in this particular case was to obtain justice. After all, the whole nature of the system and the culture in those days would have been working against her, and it would have been so easy for her to become discouraged and just give up, perhaps thinking, oh, nothing is happening. He won't listen to me. He won't even see me. I might as well pack it all in and go up. I'll never get justice. It's impossible for me. After all, who am I? These must have been the thoughts going through her mind day and night. It would have been so easy for her to just become completely discouraged and just give up and never, ever find justice. And yet, Jesus uses her example as the encouragement for us to never give up praying. Why is she an example for us? It's because she was patient. She was prepared to wait. She was determined. She was persistent. She persevered with her demands. She didn't allow setbacks to discourage her. And so relentlessly, she pursued the judge for justice. And she was determined. And she continued to press her case until she received an answer. She was resolute. She was single-minded. And above all, she kept going. She kept going until she found justice. And this, of course, is the challenge that Jesus brings to us, his followers. We are to be patient. We are to be determined. We are to continue in prayer and not allow ourselves to become discouraged if we don't get a quick answer. To persevere in prayer is really vitally important for each one of us. But the second character in this parable is a judge. He would have been a high-status individual, unconcerned for the poor, probably only wanting wealthy, eminent folks as his clients from whom he could make loads of money. He was selfish, greedy, churlish, arrogant, dismissive, and disinterested. He was neither God-fearing nor cared at all what people thought. He was proud, self-seeking, completely selfish. And of course, Jesus uses him in this parable, describing him in this way, to demonstrate that he is so different, completely different from God, our Heavenly Father, and he uses the judge as a contrast. By his character, by his actions, we are to note the differences. Because God is absolutely nothing like that judge. God is loving, gracious, caring, generous, merciful. He has no favourites. We can never buy or earn his favour, for he is full of grace and mercy, and he's always, always more willing to hear our prayers than we are to pray. And he generously gives us his Holy Spirit. And he promises us that I am with you always, so never, ever give up. I suppose we spend a lot of our time wondering if other people are listening to us, our parents, our partners, our children, colleagues, friends. Am I really getting through? Are they really listening to me? Or are they on their mobile phone or watching the telly? Are they really listening to me? But God, of course, is so very different, and very different to the judge in this story. And we can trust our loving Father in heaven to be listening. For the Apostle John wrote in his first letter, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." God hears our prayers, ever more willing to listen to our prayers than we are to pray. And so eventually, as you look at verses 4 and 5, the judge finally yields and gives up, not because of any change of character or conversion, but rather for the selfish desire for a quiet life. and the rather strange thought that she might lay in wait and attack him. So he gives in, not through any real desire to impart justice, but rather for the completely selfish motives of peace and self-preservation. And once again, we see his character revealed as totally indifferent to others and to be contrasted with our God in heaven, our Father. And so, as a consequence, the widow finally gets her answer, and with the judge announcing in verse 5, "I'll see she gets justice," almost grudgingly, "I'll see she gets justice." He still didn't care about her and her case or even justice, but he merely wanted some peace and quiet from her incessant pleas. But Jesus compared this to our Father in heaven, commenting, "Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off?" Yes, God is very different from the judge. But then Jesus, as he so often did, concluded the parable with a vital question, both for his disciples and for us this morning. And it may be a surprise the way that the parable ends. Look there in verse 8, Jesus asks, "Will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth?" And this parable is clearly about prayer, but it's set in the context of a whole series of stories in Luke's gospel about faith and the different ways people reacted to their meeting with Jesus. Because to pray, you need faith. We like to think we can fix our own problems, and maybe we tend to use prayer as a kind of last resort rather than the obvious first choice. But we are dependent on God, and we should place our confidence and faith in him, because God is faithful, loving, gracious. But as Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, we are to pray in accordance with the will and purpose of God. And of course, God's purposes and timescales may be very different from our own. I think we sometimes pray a kind of prayer trying to persuade God into accepting the preferred and desired outcome that we've already thought about. We're trying almost to persuade God to come round to our way of thinking and maybe our timing. But his timing is not necessarily ours. And of course, this is one area where patience, perseverance are called for. We're not to expect instant answers, but like the widow in Jesus' parable, we are to keep going and never give up, even in those situations when we currently feel there's no answer other than wait, because Scripture is full of instructions to wait on the Lord. In the previous chapter, Jesus had been talking a lot about faith with his disciples. And there in that chapter, he goes on to heal 10 lepers. And he commends one, incidentally a foreigner, who came back to say thank you with the comment, your faith has made you well. And then he tells the parable that we have just read, ending with the question, will he find faith on earth? But then, if you read on to the rest of the chapter, it's fascinating because there are several further examples of faith. The next story is that of the tax collector who recognizes his need for forgiveness, the forgiveness that only God can give, and being justified by his faith. Jesus acknowledged that it was him, not the Pharisee, who was justified because of his faith. And then he includes a lovely example of becoming like a little child who had absolute trust in their parents. I watched the other day an exhausted toddler who was having a bit of a tantrum, falling into the arms of her father, and instantly she was at peace, sleeping peacefully. The tantrum had ceased. And Jesus comments, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And then the chapter goes on with another story about faith, with Jesus healing a blind man and telling him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." And so Luke has not incorporated this parable at some random point in his gospel, but it's a clearly thought out part of the orderly account that he desired to write when he opens his gospel in the opening verses of chapter 1. It's part of his logical thought that prayer and faith are so interlinked, because it's all about praying with faith. It's clear from the parable that Jesus wants us to persevere in prayer of faith, knowing that he will respond in a loving and gracious way. That's the challenge to us this morning, to pray without ceasing. Hence the question at the end of the parable, will he find faith? Prayer is like a theme that goes all the way through the Bible, with the refrain in the Psalms and the prophets, like Isaiah, who wrote, "He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Jesus asks, will he find faith? And of course, the theme of prayer and faith continues throughout the gospel story. It's such a vital part of Jesus' life, as we already have said. And then, if you read Luke's second volume, the Acts of the Apostles, there are many, many details of prayer meetings and answers to prayer in Luke's story. But the theme of prayer continues then in Scripture, in the writing of the epistles. And Paul, in many, many of his epistles, writes about prayer. So, for example, he writes to the church at Ephesus, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And he concludes his first letter to the church of Thessalonica with the words, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And if you read Scripture, there are many, many such exhortations in Paul's letters. But you know, our prayers are not to be just a series of requests. They're not a wish list, but they're part of our manner of life, our relationship, our daily walk with Jesus as we meet him on the road, at lunch, in the evening, wherever we are, seeking God's will, both for us as individuals and corporately for one another, for our fellowship and for each other, and finding time in our busy lives to meet with Jesus and to pray. But prayer is never easy, and I confess that it can be a real struggle. Satan constantly challenges us, and certainly I find that Satan constantly interrupts our thoughts with the cares of the day, and we find prayer really hard. But there are some wonderfully encouraging words in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. For there in chapter 8, he tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And that's so important for us to learn, that on those times when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will groan with us in prayer. We might find prayer difficult, but God gives us his Spirit. So it's important to remember that we are never, ever on our own. So remember this morning, and as you go on into the week ahead, the business week, wherever you go, to school, to work, to hospital, in the home, wherever, to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. And like the widow in Jesus' parable, never, ever give up, because we know through our faith that the gracious Heavenly Father to whom we pray is good and loving and will answer our prayers. Yes, we all need to know that we cannot pray on our own, by our own efforts, by our own strength, but we can wait on the Lord and we can acknowledge the help and the support of his Holy Spirit and have faith and believe and then go on praying and to continue to accept the vital, critical, life-giving importance of prayer in our daily walk as we meet with Jesus, who told his disciples that they should always pray and never give up. And like the widow in the parable, they should continue always to pray. May that be our walk with Jesus this week and as we go on, and may it become our manner of life. In Jesus' name, amen.